CBS Radio brings you The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
Thank you, Grandma. Come on, Bessie, then.
Can I go over to the park?
No, it's too late, dear. We've got to go up the room and start packing up our things.
Mrs. Piper!
Oh, look, mm-hmm. Mommy. That's Mrs. Houston.
Why, for goodness sake, Mrs. Houston. What in the world are you doing here?
Well, I finally tracked you down. You never told me what hotel you were staying at.
Well, I had spent all week trying to track you down. You never told me what hotel you were staying at, either.
And I have just worried all week.
With all the hotels in New York, it was impossible to start calling all of them. And what you must have thought of me not showing up for lunch last Tuesday. Oh, I just felt terrible.
Oh,
I just
now,
awful.
Don't apologize. I knew something must have happened.
Well, something certainly did happen. Come on up the room and I'll tell you about it. Betsy, go ring for the elevator, dear.
Hello, Betsy. Are you all excited about sailing tomorrow?
Oh, yes.
Go ring for the elevator, darling. Go on. We haven't told Betsy anything about the trouble. We didn't want to worry her.
My goodness, what trouble?
Well, with my passport. I'll let Betsy go on over to the park and play, and then I'll tell you about it. But tell me, how in the world did you find out what hotel we were staying at, Mrs. Houston?
Well, when I ran into you on Fifth Avenue on Tuesday, and we made arrangements to meet for lunch just half an hour later, and then you never showed up.
Oh, I felt terrible, but everything happened so fast after that.
I just called home.
Uh-huh.
I called Mrs. Faulkner.
Oh.
I was sure she'd know where you were staying. Unfortunately, I didn't think of calling her until today. So when she told me, I just came right over here and decided to wait in the lobby until you came in. I do hope the trouble has all been settled.
No, I'm afraid not. We're supposed to be sailing tomorrow, and at the moment, I have no passport. No passport at all.
Is the heat getting you down? Why swelter when you can get a new Philco air conditioner in decorator-style compact cabinets for as little as $5 down and only $2.50 a week at your nearby Firestone dealer or store that features home supplies? These new Philco air conditioners are so quiet that you can sleep or talk without disturbing noise. Adjustable four-way grills give you wall-to-wall cooling. With one control knob, you can set it and forget it. And cooling capacity is absolutely guaranteed. So don't swelter and suffer another day. Go to your nearest Firestone dealer or store that features home supplies and get a new Philco air conditioner for only $5 down and $2.50 a week. And while you're there, be sure to see the complete line of window fans, portable fans, and room coolers now on sale at rock-bottom prices. You can buy on easy budget terms or open a 30-day charge account at your nearby Firestone dealer or store.
You may stay over in Gramercy Park for 20 minutes, then you come back, Betsy.
All right, Mommy.
Mm-hmm. Mommy, tell me what you meant when you said you have no passport.
Well, too long to go into detail, but do you mind if I sort of pack up things while we're talking?
No, not at all. Go right ahead. But how can you sail without a passport?
I can't, and frankly, I've just been so upset about it that I figure I might just as well go ahead and be ready to go anyhow.
Yes,
you know?
Of course. Oh, dear. I hope it wasn't anything I said that caused all the trouble.
Oh, now, Mrs. Houston, I'm not blaming you a bit. I knew.
Then it was what I said.
No. Look, when I told you about trimming the edges of my passport a bit so it would fit better into my bill.
I told Edgar about it. I said Mrs. Piper never showed up for lunch, and I just know she must have had trouble when she went up to the passport place. I said I should never have told her about that friend of mine who had trouble after she crossed out her age on her passport.
Oh, now, you mustn't blame yourself, Mrs. Houston. They'd have found it out sooner or later, and then I might have had trouble in Europe. No. I am certainly not blaming you at all.
But what happened?
Well, I went up there to the passport place. I stood in line for ages. And then, never dreaming there'd be any real trouble about it, I told the man what I'd done, you know, very nice. I said I trimmed the edges off my passport so it would fit into my billfold better. Was it all right? Well, he looked at me as though I said I'd started that fire in the Pentagon or something, and he said, "No, madam, it is not all right."
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I can tell you. Who is it?
It's me.
Oh. Hi, dear.
Ah.
Did you get it? My new passport?
Did I get it, she says. Well, let me tell you something. If you ever...
Oh, dear.
Oh, Mr. Houston, hello.
Hello, Mr. Piper.
I knew somehow you'd manage to get me a new passport.
Oh, you did. You know, what makes you think I've got it?
Oh, honey, I tell from the look on your face. You have, haven't you?
Yes, I've got it. Hey, right here, and I will keep it.
Oh, that is wonderful. Did you have any difficulty getting it at the last minute?
Did I have any difficulty?
Now, dear, Mrs. Houston was just asking.
Getting this new passport has involved the combined efforts of Mr. Wigglefoot, president and owner of the Atco Export-Import Company, for whom I work, four of the best company lawyers in his legal department, to say nothing of a couple of lawyers in Washington, all of whom have devoted two solid days of conferences with assorted officials in the passport division, plus a dozen papers that had to be signed in duplicate and in triplicate, stating that my wife had no malicious intent to destroy government property. Other than that, we had no difficulty whatsoever in getting a new passport issued to my darling wife.
Oh, honey. Well, anyhow, we got it.
Yes, we got it.
Oh, dear. I feel it's rather my fault.
No. Now, Mrs. Houston, you must not blame yourself at all, should she, dear?
No, indeed, because you know whose fault it all is. Mine.
No, dear, I never said that at all.
No, you not only said it, but you said it to the passport people.
I didn't say it was your fault.
No.
I was only explaining how it happened. And I did ask you before I did it. I said, "This passport doesn't quite fit in. Do you think it's all right if I trim the edges a bit with a scissors?" And you said, yes, fine, go ahead, do whatever you want to.
Mrs. Houston, dear, do you ever talk to your husband when he's busy concentrating on office reports or something?
Oh, my, don't go on. I know exactly how it happened. Yes, indeed, I am always babbling something to Edgar when he's trying to concentrate. We've had more mix-ups over that.
Yeah, you see, dear, I'm not the only one. You're going to stay mad at me all through Europe, huh? Are you?
I don't see how you can be mad at her. She looks so pretty.
Jolly, you women. You make a mess of things, and then you sit around and look pretty and helpless, and we men fall for it every time.
Well, now that is all settled and you have no more worries, you can really enjoy an evening relaxation. So I'll go back to our hotel and clean up, and Edgar and I will take you all out to dinner tonight.
No,
we insist. Our bon voyage present to you. Oh, and I must forget to get the number of your stateroom, because Edgar and I will be there to see you all tomorrow.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Oh. Well, I knew you were sailing on the stocking down tomorrow, and we were certainly going to see you off.
Half
fun of sailing. It's such an empty feeling when there's nobody there to see you off.
Oh, golly, I'll bet it is. Well, that'll be very nice.
Oh, we said so many times, sailing from New York, and there's nobody from home to see us off. Oh, I am getting excited.
Don't forget to get seasick pills.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, it shouldn't be rough at this time of year.
I always take them. You never know. And since you haven't sailed before, believe me, some people get seasick just from the slight motion of the boat.
Oh, well, I tell you, I don't believe in those things. I think being seasick is purely psychological. I mean, if you think you're going to be seasick, you will be. What is the matter?
My skirt!
Your skirt?
Skirt to what, dear?
Your skirt! I just got the jacket. I just remembered at the last minute it had fallen off the hanger, and I went down to the kitchen to place it, and I laid it on the dining room table. Well, I put the ironing board away,
and I never picked it up before.
Now, don't get excited. Look through everything you have, and if you don't have it, I'll go to your house when I get home and get the skirt and mail it to your hotel in London.
I'm sure it's on the dining room table. I know that's where it is. Eleanor Boutner now has the keys to the house.
Oh, how could I?
Don't worry.
I'll get it. Hello. Yes.
Well, what time should we meet for dinner, Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Where?
Well, if you like Chinese food, we are now a wonderful
place. Oh, good.
For the love of... I think it's Aunt Effie. I can hear her asking for change to drop in the coin box.
Oh, dear, she's on her way to New York to meet us. She was getting a ride. She said something wrong?
Oh, yeah, probably. Well, we'll soon know.
We'll return to the couple next door in just a moment. When King Charles II of England wanted to have his royal mind amused and refreshed, he customarily went to the House of Peers to listen to the legislators' debates. Those debates, he often said, were as good as a comedy. Now, it's possible that you might want to do as King Charles did. Pay a visit to your state legislature, city council, or some other such dignified body. Their deliberations might at times prove as good as the comedy. They might at other times prove a crashing bore. Well, I have a better idea, one that's surefire. Tune in every night, Monday through Friday, to CBS Radio's new evening comedies. There, along with your longtime favorite, Amos and Andy, you'll find humorist Andy Griffith, star of Broadway's musical hit, Destry Rides Again. George Burns and Gracie Allen, recreating their memorable vaudeville routines. And that zany pair of comedians, Bob and Ray, will bring you life's facts, fancies, fables, and foibles in wonderful comedy style. You'll find them all here Monday through Friday, the new evening sound of CBS Radio.
I can't hear you, Aunt Effie. Will you speak up? This connection's not very good here. Yes. Yeah, that's better. Now, where are you? Where's that? I never heard of it.
Has there been an accident or something, dear?
My goodness, I hope she's not hurt.
Oh, for Pete's sake, well, can they get it fixed?
Oh.
I knew it. I knew something like this would happen. I told you not to wait until the last minute to meet us in New York.
What has happened? Will you...
Yeah, the boat sails at noon. Yes, from Hoboken.
Is she
going to
make it?
Well, Aunt Effie's on the other side of the Hudson River from New York. No, look, there's no point in coming into New York. You go straight to the Holland-American line. Well, hold on a minute. I'll have to look up the number of the pier. Hold on.
What has happened?
Yes.
Well, because Aunt Effie was getting a free ride with some other people from home and therefore saving money.
Yes, I know all that. Well, never mind what.
You know who she was riding with? Yes. Old Mr. Perry and his wife. And I think he drives a 1932 Chevrolet.
Oh, he couldn't.
Look, I know the Perrys, and that's what he drives, and it darning looks like new. However, it is finally broken down in this one-horse town, no decent garage. The man thinks maybe he can have the car fixed by midnight. Look, where are our boat tickets? Get them, will you? I've got to find the number of the pier. Where are they?
Are they going to drive all night then to get here?
Look, they'll have to, providing they can get the car fixed.
Oh, honestly, now we have that to worry about.
Well, never mind that. Look, get the boat. Oh, here they are. Where's the boat? Oh, here. Hello, Aunt Effie. Aunt Effie. Now, listen. Listen to me now, will you? But never mind all that now. I have got your passport and your boat ticket. So what I'll do is leave them both on the pier at the desk. Yeah, well, there's some kind of a desk. That, yeah. Well, look, I'll have them there.
Your Aunt Effie, and I do, she's
understand?
Not going to miss this trip to Europe if she has to hitchhike to New York.
Now, remember, the boat sails at noon.
The Couple Next Door is written by Peg Lynch and stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce with Edith Gresham and Francie Myers and is produced by Walter Hart.